Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston-Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
I'm sad I missed this on the Carbless Talk and Text line, because we were discussing the wild phenomenon that the New York Yankees are trying to replicate their version. Yes, Strofe?
New York Mets.
The New York Mets are stealing the sausage race and making it a New York-style race. I think there's a skyscraper, a ferry, a pizza, and those of the likes. Nick chimed in, a gigantic rat would make more sense than a giraffe.
I agree.
Ooh, that's good. I like the rat.
I like that, too. That would have been clever.
Now, I'm not opposed to it. Like I said, I think it's a great idea. I think that represents New York. A rat, trash cans on the corner, a curb, like a trash can running
like
down.
Almost like, you know, like in Elmo. They got the trash can right there.
They're exactly. Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Oscar.
The Grouch.
So, yeah.
I love trash. Meow, meow, meow.
It's a wild character, is it not?
Who, Oscar the Grouch?
Yeah, an animal living in a trash can that they just sort of...
Is he an animal?
He's like a second-class citizen.
But, like, for kids to watch?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Nah, I think it makes a point. Like, hey, like, garbage is bad. People get grouchy sometimes, especially if you live in garbage. Yeah, wouldn't you
bad.
Be upset? But you want to throw stuff away in it.
Strive for more.
Taylor also chimed in on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Who would win in a race between you guys right now, and who would put money on it?
Between us four.
Oh, in a, let's say, 100-yard dash.
I think you could probably just keep the discussion to you three.
Shoot, these two? I mean, I don't know how fast
Ben is. He might have me, though.
Yeah, Ben
I think
is pretty
I would
fast.
Put money on myself to beat all of you.
I could run fast, but these two, they are in much better shape, and they're much faster than me. Well, I don't know. Is Brad fast now, still? What do you think?
I don't know if he's fast. All he does is lift.
I know, right?
Run. Well, no, I do run, but I haven't like sprinted in a long time.
By nature, I'm a sprinter over a long distance runner.
I would say I'm the same thing, but like, ooh,
slower and bigger.
I am 100-yard dash. We're talking.
I
about?
Already know. I'm
I don't know. I'm trying
confidence.
To handicap it appropriately.
What do you think you run your 40-yard dash time in right now?
Did you do with the combine?
4.78. I bet you I could get a 4.9. I could get under 5.
Damn, that's kind of fast.
I get under 5.
No, it's not.
I know.
Still?
Yeah. That's not that easy.
It's not that. You know, if Brad ran a 4.78, Brad would beat me for sure.
Think about it. Well, hold on. Think about it. Like, wide receivers run like a 4.55.
There was
like,
no, the there slow was one that ones. Run a 4.8.
Yeah, but there's still wide receivers that are going to get drafted.
Yeah, huh? We could ball out though.
Did you see the guy who weighed in at 450 pounds?
What? Huh?
And he ran a 5.93. That's crazy.
Still dude, faster than Strofe.
You know what's crazy? If you Google Brad Northman 40-yard dash or Brad Northman RAS score, the first like 7 results are about me.
That is crazy.
Because you probably searched yourself so many times, it knows your mindset and algorithm.
Great joke, Ben. That was really good.
Nailed it. Dad joke. We need a where do we get the dad joke sounder?
I would appreciate if we just stopped doing dad jokes on this program.
Yeah, like, here's the thing. When you become a dad, but don't try to do them.
But do you
them.
Not
they
hear the
happen.
Screeching halt all the momentum on the program comes to when you make those jokes?
There it is. We need a screeching halt sound effect.
So why did you – so wait, Ben might be right because I searched Brad Northman RAS score and I see Brad Northman that popped up, Kyle Bruston-Northman that popped up, Brad Northman's
right,
Wikipedia page.
Kyle Bruston-Northman, it brings you to an episode called Strofe and the Combine.
Duh, because of the fact that Brad Northman trained you that day.
And
we had RAS score.
Man, that's horrible for you, Brad.
That is. That's bad branding.
The fact that when you bad search branding. Your name, it's associated with Alex Strofe and his horrible video of running the slowest 3-cone combine drill in the history of the universe.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, I didn't know this would be a forever stain on my, my image.
Your brand.
You decided you wanted to train him up. You put your fingerprints on that. That's if you ever wanted to try to train.
I put my fingerprints on him beating Kyle in a mile and a half race. What was I thinking?
Yeah, I don't know what you were thinking.
Have you been training, Strofe?
Of course.
No, he's not training.
I'm working my tail off.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman here at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel in the awesome sports book. Alex Strofe running the show. And as I take a look and I take a gander at these odds at Pato Sportsbook, you can build your bets at paysbig.com/sportsbook. If you head on over to the MLB and you look at some of these futures, the odds for the Brewers to win the playoffs, or not to win the playoffs, to make it to the playoffs. Any guesses?
I already saw it. I think you put 10, you win 10.
It's basically even money.
Interesting.
I was going to do it.
That's pretty good
odds. Despite the fact that they're plus 325 to win the division, they're still projected to make the playoffs.
Because there's how many wild card spots? Two?
More.
Three.
Yeah!
Did Sal
one
beat
gets
that
in.
Out?
He did.
Oh, no. Austin Wells, he's hobbling. He hit a home run.
Who or
gives
no, a damn? Never mind. I don't care
less.
That's
Ben Rice, their first baseman. Anyway, as it pertains to the Brewers, we just went through an exercise in over-under, going through the opening day starters, and we mentioned some names, Kyle Loesch, Supon, and all these other guys
Jeff
that
Supon.
Kyle was like, oh, yeah, that was when we weren't winning games. And so my question to you is it unfair now to go into a Brewer season and just expect to be in the playoffs?
You know,
in a 162-game season where there's so many variables, so many things that can happen, like, are we now becoming spoiled Brewers fans?
Yeah, you know, Kyle and I, when we grew up rooting for the Brewers, we are used to just a dry summer, very little excitement. You're rooting for, like, Jeremy Burnitz to hit a home run. That was, like, the peak excitement
Jeremy
in the 90s.
Burnitz.
And, you know, Ben Sheets throwing a decent game in the early 2000s. But since
Sexy Richie Sexton, big sexy.
Since 2008, there's been several playoff appearances, and most recently, six of the last 7 years of the playoffs being made, to where I enter this season expecting the Brewers to make the playoffs. And the more I dwell on it, the more I realize how unfair that is. It's completely unfair for the Milwaukee Brewers. I want to reset my mind back.
Put that on the poll, Strofe.
You want to reset
Brad
your
Nortman
mind back.
Thinks it's unfair to expect the Brewers in the playoffs every year.
I
fair
do.
Or unfair?
I think it's unfair for a number of different reasons. First of all, yes, six out of the last seven seasons they made the playoffs. But let's not forget, before that, they had made it twice since, what, 1982 when they went to the World Series?
Yeah,
so it was like only momentary greatness for you to be able to appreciate it. And let's not forget, this goes to show how impressive the front office is. Depending on what site you look at, Spotrac says they're 24th of 30 in payroll. Another site says they're 22 of 30. So they're low 20s as far as
bottom
payroll.
Half.
That is a hard ask every year to field a team that is playoff worthy over a 162-game season when you have that much stacked against you. So I'm going to enter this season. I caught myself, guys. I was like, the Brewers are going to have a great year. They're going to make the playoffs.
You just
we're have
bet them to win the division. Now you're saying it's unfair to make the playoffs?
I did bet them to win the division, but I want to reset my mind back to an appreciation of the Brewers making the playoffs. So I want them to win championships, and I want them to go further, but I remember that joy of 2008, the joy of 2011, and then 2018 even, when it felt fresh and new and joyful for them to make the playoffs. We've become too accustomed to it to where we are not satisfied unless there's more. So for me, it's not fair for us to imagine the Brewers making the playoffs every year. I want to go back to an appreciation of it. That's what I'm doing with
this
season.
Here's what I have appreciation of right now. Watching them play baseball is just so much more fun and different than the way you watch a lot of teams and the way you watch baseball. Because they just did a hit and run, they weren't able to turn a double play because the second baseman had to move out of position. Jess Chisholm, that was. And now you're grinding out games. And this is why I think the Brewers are so fun to watch. And if, like, you are a huge Brewers fan, it's easy to stay engaged for 162 games because of the way they play. Will Garrett Mitchell get a single here? I don't know. Will he knock in the run? I don't know. But in a 2-1 ball game, they're fast on the base pads. They're going to be aggressive. And that is something that you can take advantage of when you have a smaller size payroll. They do it through youth. They do it through the way that Pat Murphy manages. So is it unfair? Maybe. But they've now set the expectation. It's not like they jumped into, like, the top 10 of payroll during this last 6 of 7 years that they made the playoffs. They found a formula.
Yep,
so because they found that formula, I do think it's fair to expect playoffs when the odds are reflecting it, what I see on the field is reflecting it. It gets me excited. It's game one. whether they win or lose, it doesn't matter. Seeing how they're approaching the game, even in game one, is going to be symbolic of what we're going to see throughout the season, because it's a symbolic of what they did last year. And yeah, maybe take it up a notch, because they were the fastest team. They didn't lead the league in steals or stolen bases, but they were the fastest team on the base paths. Ball in action.
That's
boom,
deep
fast.
Baseball right there.
I think, Brad, what you have to realize is that this isn't our youthful Milwaukee Brewers. We can have these expectations of the Milwaukee Brewers going to the playoffs each and every year. And do know that we don't have the same expectations that we have for the Brewers that we have for the Green Bay Packers, or we'll be frustrated the fact that they made it to the playoffs so frequently and still haven't won a World Series title. But, Brad, it's okay to have expectations. Listen, they did it. We, like, David Stearns built this organization up to now they are consistent. Now they have guys that you're talking about that are coming in the future. Guys are on the roster now. So, yeah, this team should have expectations of making the playoffs every single year. When you are fielding a good roster and a good baseball team, to have anything but high expectations is shameful. And so the fact that the Milwaukee Brewers have earned the right to have these level of expectations.
Yeah, and on the Carbless Talking text line, think about these expectations versus yours. Even in the doldrums of, like, after post CC Sabathia and that run, and yeah, like trying to find their way back to 2017 and six of the last 7 years in the playoffs. Dan in the 262. I remember going to a game back in the day, and this is obviously way back in the day, against the Texas Rangers, and they handed out flyers that said, quote, "I was there for Nolan Ryan's 30th win." They were playing against us.
Oh.
Nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's part of a fan that wants to go to the games to enjoy the best players in the game when they're in Milwaukee, but there's an expectation that you could compete with those teams instead of being there for a loss, in which he's basically saying, hey, I was going to be there for a loss.
Yeah, I do remember there's the only time I can remember fanfare for the Milwaukee Brewers when I was growing up was when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were making those home run king runs. That's when the ballpark was hopping. But up until that point, it was just nothing but an afterthought. I just feel like, in order to have a real appreciation for how, like, incredible this team is built and how unlikely it is for them to make the playoffs any given year, like, you have to lower your expectations. If you expect it, you can't possibly have a reasonable, like, appreciation for it.
No, so you can't have appreciation.
I just want to appreciate how unlikely it is for this Brewer team to do what they're doing over the last 7 years, and what I expect them to, expecting them to do what they do this year. See, even I'm caught in it.
Yep. Because it's what you've grown accustomed to, and there's a reason why you should be thinking that way. Yes.
Is
it fair or unfair to expect the Brewers in the playoffs every year? 63% say it's fair. 37% say unfair. That is on Twitter at KBN ESPN. You can also hit us on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. Liss is more when you go to the ballpark, Brad.
That is. Liss is certainly more when you go to the ballpark. And you can enjoy Carbless on Monday when ESPN Wisconsin is bringing to you the Milwaukee Brewers home opener. That's right. Next Monday, the Brewers play the Royals, and you get to enjoy every bit of it when we carry it here on ESPN Wisconsin, sponsored by Carbless, the ready-to-drink cocktail that you know Liss is more with. So when you are going to the grocery store this weekend and you're thinking, what should I grab? Grab yourself a Carbless, because it's baseball season, and you can be the king of your tailgate as you welcome in the unofficial start of the summer by listening to the Milwaukee Brewers here on ESPN Wisconsin. Live shows inside the ballpark, special guests all day, and unmatched excitement for the crew as ESPN Wisconsin carries every pitch of the home opener for the Milwaukee Brewers on Monday. Home opening day is brought to you by Carbless here on ESPN Wisconsin. So grab a pack of Carbless today. I'd recommend the Tropical Bliss Variety Pack. So good, it'd be the MVP of your tailgate.
Jason Wilde joins us next on Kyle Bruston Norman, live from Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sportsbook.
This is Kyle Bruston Norman, KBN.
Steph, your biggest strength in life that you bring to this world?
Probably my wife, because she keeps me calm. Even when I'm cursing at the TV during Packers games, I always know I can fall back on her.
That's sweet, man. Who knew KBN Nation had so many simps? Boy, I love this. I love this.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
I'm not leaving.
The Wolf of Wall Street was on the other day when I was flipping through channel.
Great family film.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
I'm a naturally inquisitive person.
Holding everybody accountable.
If you feel better about that, I'm happy to do so.
Jason Wilde is on Kyle Bruston Norton.
That is correct. Jason Wilde is on Kyle, Brustin, Nortman. Whole crew together at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, taking in the sights, enjoying the food. An amazing place to watch any sporting event. Jason, welcome into Kyle, Brustin, Nortman.
Gentlemen, Ben, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. You know, I love baseball, and I'm just happy to be taking it all in at the best place in the world right now.
That joke went right over his head.
He did. Yeah,
it's all good. Gentlemen, Ben.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all right. I mean, I was told I had a punchable face, so.
Yeah.
Wait, and who I told you that?
Social media.
Social media, because Kyle said that Jordan Love walked into a terrible situation for the Green Bay Packers. Now,
comparison.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. Yeah. So let's just take
Brett
Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Let's just take that blanket statement that was on social media away. And let's just ask Jason, who do you think had the toughest situation to walk into between the three quarterbacks, Favre, Rodgers, or Love?
Brett Favre.
Really? Explain.
I mean, not even close. Institutional losing for ages. Like they were terrible for a very long time. And 1992, when he walked in, there were expectations on him immediately because they had traded away a first round draft pick for a guy that was so hungover that he missed the Atlanta Falcons team picture. And then they weren't planning on playing him right away. And then Magic Man goes down with an injury, mm-hmm. ankle injury, and Favre is forced into the lineup, goes out and obviously has that historic game almost 35 years ago now where he beats the Cincinnati Bengals. But, I mean, he certainly wasn't the Brett Favre that he became. So his was by far the worst. And then, I mean...
You think his roster wasn't good?
No, it wasn't. I mean, 1992, okay. They were rebuilding the roster. Reggie White hadn't arrived yet. Like, so he was in a bad situation.
Were they rebuilding the roster for Love?
Well, let's go chronologically first. So then we got Rodgers. Okay. Yep. Who obviously they were coming off of an NFC championship game berth, which might lend you to say that he came into a great situation. But the 2008 season, they didn't exactly run it back with everybody who'd been on that team. One, two, the level to which the Favre watch and the absolute insanity that was created that summer, I would argue that regardless of the fact that they went to the NFC Championship game the previous season, he was following a future Pro Football Hall of Famer, someone who was still extremely popular with the fan base, someone who to this day, Jesse Nelson was just saying this today, oh, he wanted to come back and be the Packers starter, and they didn't
want
him. He never wanted to be the Packers starting quarterback again. He wanted to go to Minnesota. Right? Well, it doesn't matter what he said. What matters is
actions over words, Kyle.
They spent the entire offseason meddling with him. Brad Childress, Daryl Bevel. The whole plan was for him to force his way out of Green Bay so he could go directly to the Vikings. He never wanted to be the Packers quarterback again. That is a fallacy.
Brett Favre lied to us. What a shock, huh?
I know that comes as a big stunner to you, but so then the environment that he creates for Rodgers, I would argue, despite the previous year's success, made Rodgers' situation more difficult than Love's. And here's why: as Love takes over, expectations are in the basement, right?
Yeah.
I mean, none of us expected them to do what they did in 2023 in the second half of the season. Rodgers. Not only based off talent, but what they'd done the previous year, the expectations for the court. I mean, he wasn't dealing with high expectations for himself. Like, you could talk about the narrative of always following these two back-to-back Hall of Famers, but no one had any evidence that he was going to be that good anyway that we had seen. So the expectations maybe were high for him inside himself, but I know I didn't have high expectations for him. And again, when we look back at history, the fact that Goody gave Rodgers the $150 million contract, which resulted in a $41 million dead cap charge for the 2023 season, you don't do that contract if you know in your heart of hearts that Jordan Love is going to be a stud. On top of that, there were no expectations for that team. It may be the only time in my time covering the team since I didn't start until 96 where there were zero expectations. 2005, they went 4-12, but that doesn't mean there weren't expectations on that team. You know, new head coach, everything else, there were expectations, not Super Bowl expectations. But so if you look at it from through that lens, like, I would argue that of the three, yes, he had to follow back-to-back Hall of Famers, but no one expected Jordan Love to be a Hall of Famer and play like one in 2023. We knew it was going to be a growing process, and that's why 2023 was so special, was that they rebuilt. They were rebuilding. They are still, mm-hmm. to varying degrees, rebuilding, right? They haven't mm-hmm. added a lot of veteran players. They are waiting for these guys to mature. They didn't mature as much as you, as a Packers fan, wanted them to last year. They didn't take as big of a step. But in a rebuilding year, they not only were above 500, they went to the playoffs, they won a playoff game, and were in position to reach the NFC Championship game. And I'm not saying they did that because there weren't expectations, but you can't say that he walked into the most difficult of the situations. He just did Jordan Love did a fantastic job in the second half of the season, and so did Matt LaFleur and everyone around him, yeah. of rising to the occasion.
See, Jason, I think you made a great point, but I think the whole point is that zero expectations plus got your butt. But, you know, zero expectations comes from the lack of talent on the football team based off Goody's failures in the drafts, you know, the draft.
Not from lack of talent, from youth on the football team. And okay, Goody chose to build the team that way.
Yeah, he chose to. Exactly. So that's why I believe when I look at Aaron Rodgers, for sure, walked to a better situation. But then on top of that, when we think about it, I know this is going to be year three for Jordan Love. But when we talk about year three, by year three for Brett Favre, correct me if I'm wrong, that team was primed and ready to go by year three to compete for championships. We know what happened in year three as a starter for Aaron Rodgers. So, again, I don't have the same feeling year three that Jordan Love is in a position to be successful to win a championship, because I don't think that Goody has done a good enough job to put that team in a position to win a championship. That's why I think that he came to a situation that was the most difficult.
Also possible that he's just not as good.
Ooh. That could be true. Probably is.
I mean, it probably is fair to say, because both of those guys are NFL Hall of Famers. Or future for
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Jason, you know, making national headlines is LeBron James saying, you know, Giannis could score 250 points a game back in the 70s or whatever. And we had a little bit of a conversation on
that.
Not
per game. He said he could put up 250 and it was in jest.
Yeah, of course. Hyperbolic, of course. But it does lend itself to a discussion of, man, who are the guys who, if they time traveled back, would just be absolute game wreckers, putting up ridiculous stats? Who did you cover from when you started covering the Green Bay Packers until now? Who's a guy you covered that you'd say, you know what, you transported him back to the 50s, the 60s, maybe even the 70s, he would just put up video game type numbers? With all due respect to those previous generations, but it just speaks to the greatness of how it's just not even fair, let alone his era, but, you know, further eras back.
Yeah, here's the problem with doing that with the NFL. It's that the game is played so differently now, right? Like the defensive backs are so much more limited by all the rules and pass interference and holding. Like what you could get away with in the 70s and 80s, what you could get away with hitting guys. Even when I started, right, in 96, like I remember Antonio Freeman, he shattered his forearm on a hit that he took going across the middle. He broke his jaw on a hit he took going across the middle. If you've ever seen the movie Jerry Maguire, you know, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s character Rod Tidwell talks about how I go across the middle. Like, that used to be something that was dangerous, I almost said deadly, not quite that, but pretty close. Like, you, they did not care. There was not a, oh, defenseless receiver rule. And by the way, I'm glad that they have made the game safer, because what they were allowed to do from a hitting perspective was borderline criminal. So,
man,
that's
it was
great.
It was, Jason, I will say this, just to interject. Watching the highlights, though, was so entertaining. The guy's just getting wrecked.
I think
y'all didn't watch highlights of hit sticks.
Yeah, it is barbaric, and in that there is some level of entertainment. I get that, but Jason, don't you think a guy like Reggie White would have 5 sacks a game in the '60s? I mean, or even the early '70s? It'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know, like Deacon Jones and him and Merlin Olsen, and like there were obviously some great pass rushers. The thing that I would question is how would incredibly accurate quarterbacks today, obviously, right? Offensive systems that would have flummoxed Vince Lombardi and George Halas and everyone else. But there, like, I always think back to Lynn Dickey, who I did a piece for ESPN.com when I was there about how everyone talks about Bart Starr, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, but that Lynn Dickey, had he been healthy, had he not played on teams with even worse defenses than Rodgers had, could have been in that conversation. Oh, but wow. If you look at the way that game was played, and there were no protections for quarterbacks. I mean, you know, now you breathe on them wrong and it's a penalty, right? It was open season on them. And so I would argue that it would make it so much harder. And again, I am glad the league has trended this way. I am not the old school guy that wants to see guys almost decapitated, like apparently Kyle does.
Kyle
wants to endanger people.
Stop it. I said kidding, we Kyle. Watched those highlights. For Brad, you watched the highlights too.
I did watch
it. It leads to a lot of, oh, wow, comments.
I'm just kidding, Kyle.
Yeah, Ronnie Lott, Ed Reed. Come
I'm
on
not.
Now.
So my point is that the way the game is played allows these guys to be more skilled, because they're not playing in fear of the kind of physicality that those guys in those eras had to deal with. So I don't know. Like, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, his ability to throw the football with pinpoint accuracy, you could argue there's no one who's done it like him. Like, no one who's been as accurate as him. But transport him in Dr. Emmett Brown's time machine and 1.21 gigawatts to lead the Lombardi-era Packers. I mean, I don't know what that looks like, because he would have to play. The one thing I would say about Rodgers, and obviously Favre was the ultimate Iron Man. He could have played in any era. I mean, I remember him in a game against the Giants getting a concussion and sneaking back onto the field and throwing a touchdown pass while everyone on the bench is like, what the hell is Favre back out there for? He's supposed to be on the bench. And then they finally got him out of the game after that. Like, he is the quintessential throwback, the tough guy who played through everything. But Rodgers was pretty tough too. And whether it was playing half of a game on a broken foot after Favre had gotten injured earlier in the game in 06, or playing with a dislocated throwing shoulder, or playing with a broken thumb, whereas Favre did it twice and was hailed as a hero, and Rodgers does it in 2022, and all we say is, ah, God, he sucked this year.
The calf game too, Jason, to lead us to the playoffs.
Right, another great example. Coming back in that opener in 18 after he got carted out and he had a broken bone at the top of his tibia. But still, he played in an era that allowed him and continues to allow him, when he plays for the Vikings this fall, to be able to play despite maybe being advanced in age.
Well, Jason, we appreciate the time, the insight, teleporting back to the 70s and the 80s and playing our weird place them in the era game. So we will talk to you, what is today, Thursday? We'll talk to you on Monday, and we'll hear you on Wildy and Tausch.
Still can't believe how bloodthirsty Kyle is, and I love
Jason. Jason, can we just be honest? So when you saw it happening, right? Because just think about the highlights that you used to watch. Maybe you didn't watch the highlights, but when you saw it happening, you didn't say, "Ooh, man, that was a hit." You didn't say, "Oh my gosh, they got to get rid of this."
So yes and no, and I know you guys got to go. But on one side of it, I do remember thinking, "My God, the hits that these guys take. I don't know how they do it." And I certainly, and I'm sure you did too, when you would watch those highlights on your VHS tape, you would wince, right? You would, I have been very honest about this. I am absolutely embarrassed by the fact that it never occurred to me while watching football in the 90s and early 2000s. I always use the example of Don Beebe. Chewy will tell you the story. He got knocked out in a game. He was snoring on the field.
Oh, wow.
Snoring out cold. And he re-entered the game in the second half and caught a touchdown pass.
Oh, my God.
And how none of us, whether we were medical professionals or sports writers or coaches or players, how
Maybe
none of us
shouldn't go
paused
back in.
And said, what are we doing here?
He took a nap.
That's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Yeah. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Greg Scalzo joins us next. Thank you. Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch across these very stations. Because we are with 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. And coming up next is Greg Scalzo. And I have not set him up with any material to take me down with this week. So I'm going to take him down this week on his bi-weekly appearance on Kyle, Brust, and Nortman next.
You're listening to Kyle, Brust, and Nortman.
Listen, Diana, that's her name. Listen, we all about positive manifestation. I like you, Diana. All it is
Dirty
negative.
Diana.
Criticize.
Dirty Diana.
I love you, Kyle.
Love you too, girl.
I love you, Kyle.
I love you too. That's what I'm talking about. The real Packer Nation.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. ESPN Milwaukee's Big Boss.
I'm not going to be able to help you.
The only one who holds Ben accountable.
We each do our own research, Ben.
Welcome to Thursdays with Greg Scalzo.
Happy Thursday!
On Kyle, Brust, and Norton.
Joining us as he does at 3:40 bi-weekly on Thursdays is Greg Scalzo on Kyle, Brust, and Norman, the Big Boss. What's going on, Greg?
I thought that this was supposed to be at 3:30. I feel like your timing might have been off all day today, Ben.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I tried to get out with Jason, and then Jason jumped back in on Kyle because Kyle liked watching people get concussed back in the day, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't gotta just make things up, don't we?
Kyle likes the true gladiators of the gridiron.
I mean, look, I think, and I'm going to let that one slide for Kyle, but I think
you're Sunday karma guy. You got to do that.
It just hasn't. It's just not the show. But like earlier today, I was looking around for Ben at the office, like during that noon to one window. I didn't know where he was, and then I'm like, where could he be? And I realize he's got the show at Pato. So, Ben, how early did you leave the office to start gambling at Pottawatomie Casino today?
You got snitches everywhere, and one of them's behind the glass named Alex Strofe. That would be around 12:05. I got here at 2:15. Or 12:05 to 12:15. Now I did text.
So you got here. You left the office in the middle of a work day to go to the casino at 12:15.
That is true. That is factual.
Am I able to finish my story?
Yeah, I'm just trying to verify the facts here.
I want to know if there's discipline coming down the line from the boss. Facts.
This stinks.
No, they're facts, though.
They're facts. So I texted our wonderful contacts at Pottawatomie, Luis and Haley, and I said, hey, I'm here a little bit early, going to do show prep at 1 o'clock. I hadn't eaten, and they are so hospitable that I was looking to maybe grab some food because, you know, I didn't have some
lunch. So you left the office to go and hit up one of our fabulous partners to get a free lunch?
It's not free. It's for the work that we put in today.
Is that what you do? You come here early and eat lunch before we get here? Is that what he does? And then he acts like, oh, hey, I'm good.
Is going to Pottawatomie to eat lunch but also gamble the bulk of that time, is that still considered a lunch break?
No. Well, I didn't take lunch. I did two slices.
You didn't take lunch? You left the office at 12:15. Your show starts at 2 o'clock.
Greg, you would have been so pumped about the battle that I had with the slot machine.
The slot machine?
That is just...
So, well,
wait, this is insubordination. He's tripping.
While the rest of your team is here at the office working hard, out on meetings, doing their roles, doing the things to the best of their ability, Ben Brust is like, "Hey, I'll be the weak link. I'll go and start gambling at the casino and battle a slot machine." What does that even mean?
It means I had a bonus that was ripe. And I didn't stop until I got the bonus, and it paid off.
When I showed up here at Potawatomi, Ben was out of breath, needing to get his heart rate down. You checked your heart rate. What did your heart rate peak at during your time at the slots?
135.
135, sitting down at the slot machine.
All right, so real quick. How much money did you get off the bonus? Like, what did you end up winning from that slot machine?
The bonus was $540.
Wait, what? You won how much money today?
I had put in the exact same amount, and I just got it back.
All that.
I don't know.
Wait a minute, Greg. He came in the middle of the workday to gamble $500+.
So
in the middle of a workday,
this was my sportsbook winnings. I had the cash. This is why you can't have cash.
A real quick disclaimer: 1-800-GAMBLER is the gambling hotline in case anybody needs to call it.
Real quick, Greg. On the Carbles Talking text line, Taylor and Waukesha chimes in. I was at Potawatomi at 12:15. Saw Ben at the tables at 12:17.
That was I wasn't at the tables. I was at one slot machine. And I almost ran out of money that I called one of our sales teammates, Greg, and I said, I might have to have you come over here because someone's got to win this bonus.
Wait.
He's dragging out the
so
people.
Usually when you, I don't know, Kyle and Brad and Strophy, help me out. Usually when you're working, right, you're on the clock, the money that you earn goes where? To the team, right?
So if you
earn $540, I feel like you got three folks on this show that you should be splitting that with.
How does
that work?
I can take mine in one.
Greg, these are the cheapest individuals I've ever met in my life.
Hey, I gambled at the Potawatomi Sportsbook today.
Yeah, you did. I also did a season-long bet for the Brewers over 83, and he sent me $10.
I did a season-long bet for the Brewers to win the Central Division for
$20.
$20. And then I made another parlay.
Yeah, how's that one going for you?
Vinny!
One of three?
One of three so far.
Homer claims that Giannis would not be as dominant as Wilt Chamberlain. Fact or fiction?
Is that your way of getting off the fact that you, on company time, were out at the casino gambling?
I'm supporting a partner.
No, that's not supporting a partnership
development.
All right, great. So everybody could just go.
Yes.
So
Haley said, "Yeah, good job."
Everybody could just go to a bar to support a partner in the middle of the day.
Well,
no,
Greg, I plan
if it's a bar that works with us.
But that's not the case. Like, literally, that's not the like those. It's not what we do. You're not there supporting a partner.
Hey.
Were you sitting there with a partner at the slot machine?
I told Haley and Luis that I got a little distracted.
So who are you at the slot machine then? Was it just you?
I was texting a partner.
Were you there with a
teammate? I just want you to know, if this is the office we're running, every day game for the Brewers have during the middle of the week, I plan on going to Brewers games in the middle of the day.
This is not what we do. That's my point.
No. I expect when I walk in tomorrow, I expect to see Ben in your office with his head down, getting shamed.
I'd rather shame him right here on the air because he knows. Look at him. He knows that
posture.
He did this wrong.
Can you see me right now,
he
Greg?
Knows he did something wrong. Are you going to give that hour back? Like, are you going to be working till an extra hour today?
For sure, man.
Oh, you a damn lie. You're going to pick up your baby.
For sure, bro.
He's going to be jetting out of here faster than Brad and I today.
The problem is you can't suspend Ben because then he would just go to Potawatomi for the day and he'd feel good about it. He'd look at that as a reward.
Suspension.
I can't come to work. Right.
Wonderful.
Brad,
right.
You worked in corporate America, right?
Brad, like, after doesn't even work at this company, Greg.
If somebody at your former employer were to be caught leaving in the middle of the day on the company's dime and going and gambling at our fabulous partners at Potawatomi, like, what would be the punishment?
Boy,
unemployment. What you mean, boy?
It would be so hard for the suits at Baird to wrap their head around what they would have to deal with.
Oh, baloney! The suits at Baird would be one of them was sitting next to me today.
No, I doubt that. I highly doubt that. It would be
part of their portfolio plan.
If strike two occurred, you're out. That's what it would be.
All right, Benny, count this as strike one here. Strike one right now for Ben Brost at Pottawatomie Casino. Leaving. Do you feel, Strofe, like he's let you down as a teammate?
Well, I like that he ignored. Ben, so show prep starts at what time?
1 o'clock.
What time were you on the meeting?
1 o'clock.
Baloney. Try again.
1:05.
Baloney. Try again.
No. Now, I'm not going to let. I don't know if I use this word correctly ever. Is this slander?
Yeah, this is a little this bit
would
of slander.
It would be slander if it was false, it's not false.
See, but you said it would kind of be slander because you know it's slander.
Well, if in this context, if I was wrong, it would be slander. If I was lying,
yes,
it would be slander.
And I'm not staring. Let everyone slander
I'm staring
my name.
At the meeting. It says it started at 1:11 p.m. 1:11. Kyle Wallace beats you. He's on the air until 1 o'clock.
Dang, man, what the heck?
Again, what you guys need to understand is, like, I know you guys enjoy when Greg comes on and like, you know, puts me in my place and I shrivel up like a little boy.
It's empowering.
I can see that, but I thought we were a team. I thought this would bring us closer together.
A team? You let your teammates down. You hung them out to dry. What kind of team is this?
Let's keep in mind, this is the same dude that 48 hours ago was bringing me to coffee to lecture me about how I should work harder on the show, and he's the same dude 48 hours later that's going to a casino in the middle of the workday.
You know, Shrove, he lives by do as I say, not what I do.
Well, he was comparing himself in this coffee meeting, comparing himself. Oh, you know, 3 years ago, Greg Scalzo would tell me this, and poof, all of a sudden it's true. I think Ben sees himself as the Greg Scalzo to me, but Greg Scalzo wouldn't leave work in the middle of the day to spend
$500. I've never claimed to be. I didn't spend it. That was an investment, and I got it back.
It's not an investment if you're not making any money.
I think he made some money today. I think he just doesn't want to say it.
No, Greg, you know, whenever you say what it is, it never is what it is.
Yeah.
Probably still, you know, hunting a little back, but at least I got the bonus to make me a little ripe.
Oh, my God.
So Wilt Chamberlain or Giannis, who is donating more in the 50s?
What's the question?
So Stephen A. And LeBron have been into it. LeBron goes on Pat McAfee's show and says, we don't think Giannis would have put up 250 in the 70s? Ha, ha, ha. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Giannis would have dominated Wilt. We got into the, like the era's conversation of who could you place from now in the 70s and 60s and 50s that would dominate. Homer's not convinced that Shaq or Giannis would dominate in the 50s when the average height was 6'4".
It's just hard situation. It's like comparing Ben Brust as a gambler to Shohei Ohtani's translator. Like, just two completely different situations. Like, who is a more degenerate gambler between the two of them? Like, I think that that's it's always hard to compare. Now, that's the same era, right? We're talking different eras. No, Giannis would do great. But I mean, Giannis would do great in any era. Like, I don't even know what we're talking about here.
Well, just Homer said he wouldn't be as good as Wilt. Not even close. Wouldn't be as dominant. So whatever. Don on the talking text line chimes in. The Carbless talking text line. Greg's new title, the Exposer in Chief.
Yeah, he sure exposes you,
that's
boy.
Important.
I didn't even realize you were here doing that.
Well, Kyle sounds the most disappointed right now. Kyle's working hard, entertaining fans on 101.7 The Truth, doing his show from noon to 1, then coming right over to Pottawatomie, busting, probably not even having a lunch, let alone a free lunch, and he's just trying to figure out how to prepare himself well for the next show, and meanwhile, Ben is sitting there like an old lady at the slot machine just hammering that button away.
In the middle of the damn workday, like a retiree, I can't.
Look, it's a little look into my future, Kyle. What do you think of it?
Wow.
Thrilling.
Whatever your fiance allows you to do, that's between y'all.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. I was totally out of break, so I got to keep the clock. You know, that's a big thing around here. So it was a real pleasure having you. I'm looking forward to talking to you in 2 weeks. All right.
Okay.
I can't see him, but I think he's just probably
shaking
his head. And
oh.
All right. I'm going to lick my wounds. We'll be back.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman.
Top five of my guys throughout my career. Of
just one below me. I was just putting myself in the ranking.
He loves himself.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
All right, take this last minute of the ESPN Wisconsin Hour here before the 414 Hour 4 to enjoy Sal Frelick, first and second, down one to the Yankees, top of the sixth. Live looking courtesy of the Brewers Radio Network. Good. All right, well, still alive. That's the live looking courtesy of the Brewers Radio Network. The 4 and 4 hour at 4 is next in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Don't remember what they said.